Mayor Talk is a production of Little Guys Entertainment and does not represent the ARMA organization as a whole. The views and opinions expressed on this show are our own. Practice.
Yeah. For drumsticks.
Hell yeah, you do it.
So yeah, let's just kind of give a talk about new members, attracting new members, how new members should be taken into the group, what we should start off with as far as getting white shirts acquainted to the weapon, to the art. To the other members as well,
Sure.
Meanwhile, staying true to the spirit of the organization.
Sure.
So. Okay. Rob, you've been doing this much longer than I have. What kind of input do you have on, let's say, in general, on new members day one?
Day one. So it's a challenge because typically you want to get new members sparring the first day. Give them the experience of the actual sword play because that's really where you learn the most. I mean, that's pretty standard ARMA curriculum because it's like Dobringer says, practice is more important than sitting and learning the techniques.
Sure.
But so the goal is get them sparring the first day and get them acquainted with the art. And so you teach them in a way that a lot of people aren't acquainted with, typically, which is you show them literally all the fundamentals on the first day.
Mm.
And when you're doing something like, say, boxing or something like that, or maybe sport fencing, that might not be a problem just because it's not very technical. But as you know, Jim and people in the community know, there's just a lot of fundamentals that have to come together for swordplay to work. So that's kind of the challenge of it, and so I think when you do that, people get kind of lost and discouraged, and you just have to let them know that's okay. And I've been with people that have tried to like piece it out, and that typically does not work as well. You show them the entire fundamentals, and you start letting them fill in the spaces week to week.
If anybody can hear that, we've got Mandy practicing some side sword wooden wacer in the background. She's working on her technique. So I don't know if she's quite getting adept yet, but we're going to get her.
She's the boss.
So, Mandy, how do you feel coming to a few of the meets? You know, she's one of our resident white shirts right now. Haven't gotten her a membership yet, but she's planning on it. So, day one, How does it make you feel? I know we mainly worked on the unarmed stuff.
Well, like day one or the original day one?
Whenever you started participating.
Okay, so the real day one.
Right. Whenever we did unarmed, which is what you suggested or basically expressed that you wanted to do.
Well, it was pretty fun, but like it was like kind of a lot to take in at one time. Like, how long were we out there? Like, 2 hours?
Yeah.
An hour and a half?
Typically the meets last.
Typically.
So it's like a lot to take in at like after like 2 hours. So, I don't think I got everything, but...
Sure. So you're probably kind of a perfectionist. You
yes.
Put a lot of pressure on yourself.
Yes.
So as new members, we do find that there is a lot of pressure for people to get good really quick. I see that a lot in new members that come. I have never really seen anybody come and get so overwhelmed that they didn't want to come back, because they always come back. Unless, you know, circumstances, they have something they have to do, you know, they're busy. But people, you know, in general tend to, you know, just want to go, go, go. And Rob, what's your take on, as far as historically, needing to you know, the need to train and the need to, you know, start with the basics?
What are you talking about?
Give us this historical, some historical examples.
Well, when you look in the early Lichtenauer tradition, so I'm talking about guys like Dobringer, Suda von Danzig, those fellows, you have Ringick and others, they all talked about, they had a whole list of 17 or 18 different fundamentals that you needed to know in order to fence, basically. And these are the things that you teach to new people. And so they always say, you know, start with the five cuts and the four basic guards. So that's where we start with our group, and it's worked because you start with fundamentals, as we said. And it's just like anything else. If you don't have the fundamentals, you can't move forward, and you really don't have a feel for what it is in its essence. So, I mean, metaphysically, what really is Kunstfechten? You can't have any grasp of it or build and fill in the spaces without having all the basics. And with most things, that's not a problem because the fundamentals just are so simple. So boxing, there's four basic punches: jab, cross, uppercut, and a hook. But with what we do, we have five basic cuts, four basic guards, then we have to talk about binding. So it gets kind of convoluted in people's minds, but that's okay.
So how would we, if we were suggesting to other groups, because we're a small group.
Yes.
Know, don't get us wrong. We're not like a Denton or a Houston or a...
How many are in the Denton group?
I'm sorry?
How many are in the Denton group?
Quite a bit.
15 or 20 on a Sunday. There's a lot.
Like 10 times more than we have.
I mean, we're getting there. We had, you know, 8 or 9 folks show up on Sunday. Yeah. But we don't have the red shirts they have. There's no way.
Right. Fundamentally, to you know, teach the basics to any white shirts that are coming in, you know, what are some ways that you try to start people out with the basics, try to keep them from having that anxiety of feeling overwhelmed, feeling like they need to learn everything in one day?
You know, I mean, it just really comes down to patience and explaining precisely what you're doing, explaining that it's okay not to have it all down the first day, and that's just the way it has to be taught. Because
chopsticks. I was trying to do chopsticks.
Because I think people, it's in their nature to get discouraged when they can't understand something or master it on the first time. And that's just the modern education system, which says, okay, you master step one before you master step two. And it doesn't work that way with fencing. So you just have to let them know what's going on. Let them know that everyone's been, you know, in a tough spot at first, but just remind them that this is the real thing. This is a martial art. This will give them combative skills for both armed and unarmed situations. And so, then demonstrating and being an example, I think, is really important.
So let's go back to your comment about fencing is not a step one and then learn step one to step two. So you wouldn't say fencing is very comprehensive? It's not a comprehensive system as far as training?
Now, can you define comprehensive for me real quick?
Comprehensive is you learn something, and then when you move on to it, it compounds on the thing you learned before. So
okay.
If you learn your Zverich, then that's going to be comprehensive to when you learn the hanging guard.
So I see what you mean. So in a sense, it is comprehensive in that it is building. But I think what I'm trying to say is that there's just certain fundamentals that have to be there for anyone to understand what's going on. And so if you just learn a Zorn and a Zverich and a basic bind, you'll never really learn about all the different cutting angles that are at play. And it leaves a huge gap in their mind as to what fencing actually is.
Sure.
And so it makes it actually more challenging for them if, you know, to progress. Because the important thing is when they start off is forming a picture of what sword fighting actually is. Because it's so convoluted and misplaced and messed up in the media that you have to let them know there's 8 cutting angles. These are the cuts you use for those angles. You do it from a bind. You step in. You don't step. You typically don't step out. And these are the basic concepts of how to do that. And if they even if they can't quite do a crump the first day, that's okay. It's just introducing those concepts so they can start filling in the gaps as they go.
So Mandy, you know, coming from a, you know, not necessarily, you don't have to do it from an armor perspective. you know, you're pretty big into physical fitness. You know, you work out every day. You know, what was the hardest thing for you just starting out as a beginner to get to kind of get into it, to learn the basics so you could progress?
You know, I guess like just walking 30 minutes a day and making that a goal every single day, walk 30 minutes a day. And then after that, you showed me some weightlifting techniques and okay, this is dorky. I can't believe I'm saying this in front of like Rob, but like I kind of gave myself this mantra of, you know, with every single time I go up with the weights, you know, I like every single time I weightlift, I would tell myself when I first started out, you know, I'm getting stronger every day. I'm making myself better every single day. And I actually started off with like 3 pound weights for biceps and triceps. And now I'm up to 10 pound weights. And by the end of the year, my goal is to be up to 20 pound weights for biceps and triceps. And I'm pretty sure I can do it because, well, I have a mesomorph body. I gain muscle really, really quickly. Uh-huh. So, I mean, I don't know if most people would be able to do that. Genetically, I just guess I'm just good because I gain muscle really quickly. But that's pretty much it. You know, I just stuck to it every single day, and you know, I can see results. Like when I hug you, you even notice. Like I crush you when I hug you now. And
so that's an interesting point when she talked about natural ability. Being a mesomorph, you know, Rob, how would you rate that on a fencing standpoint? Would you say, I know you've mentioned that you've had some previous athletes from local universities, and you've had as well as some previous athletes from different you know, Eastern martial arts, mixed martial arts. And you yourself do some mixed martial arts and some workouts with the local Marine recruiter unit. So as far as having natural ability and people coming from already athletic backgrounds, how does that translate into historical fencing on a whole?
Well, let me say this. It helps a lot when you start if you have weight, if you have strength, I should say. So by that I mean a lot of people who are maybe smaller or maybe some just some small, like especially like small girls will come out. They'll have a really hard time executing the technique. So it's a huge advantage. But I think what's really interesting about the martial arts of Renaissance Europe is that it really gives a unique advantage to a lot of people who have just been passionate about swordplay, even if they really didn't know about the martial arts of it, to find a way to become really fit. So, for example, myself, you know, when I started, I wasn't very strong. One of the workouts I did were pull-ups. I couldn't do a single pull-up when I first started, but now I can do over 20. So it really gives people an incentive to work out. And
yeah, let's face it, I wouldn't be doing this if I would. I wouldn't work out
Maybe.
On that note, Rob, I have, like, because I met you in May, and here it is January. I've noticed, like, a difference in your arms mostly and in your legs.
Well, let me say this.
Since we first met.
I would not be working out if it wasn't for martial arts. And Jim, do you have a similar experience with that? I know you've talked about in the past that it's a motivating factor for you.
Right. And it's just like that, Rob. I mean, I didn't really work out that much. I mean, great, you're still sort of a weak point in my life right now. Everybody's gotta start somewhere, but yeah, I wouldn't be as excited about trying to get physically fit if I didn't have anything to do it for. And especially Arma has given me a reason to want to eat healthy, stay
it's
fit.
Actually, and it's actually helped Jim get a lot more discipline. Like right. In his day-to-day life, he actually cleans the litter boxes every day now. And that's something that he did not do. And I'm very grateful for that. Like everybody who lives in this house is grateful for that.
You know what? There's something about it, though. There's a transformation when you come into the martial arts. And there's something about being able to come to a local historical fencing group that, you know, is a lot more friendly than maybe an MMA gym where there's a lot of egos going on.
Right.
So, and, you know, it allows for people, just everyday, ordinary people to come in and have a transformation from just a regular person to a martial artist, to someone who thinks of themselves as a capable warrior who needs to work on being strong enough to apply the techniques properly, being strong enough to put it into practice if someone or a group of people messes with them just out in their everyday life.
So it's confidence.
I think it's confidence. I think it's motivation. And I think I would go a step further and say transformation of an individual from someone who doesn't have those skills to someone who does have the skills and wants to make them work with proper application of force.
And it does, you know, speaking of discipline, I mean, these, you know, armor groups and our armor group, you know, we try to be as, you know, loose as possible, try not to be very regimental. I don't really know of any armor groups that are
really
regimental. Yeah, laid back is probably the best way to describe it. You know, but you can, it's one of those amazing things because it is considered to most people an art form that it's, you take what you need and you take what you want from it. It does take a lot of discipline if that's what you want to do. If you want to get good at it, you want to become adept, you want to become that free scholar, you want to master a single weapon, you want to be able to do those prize plays, you want to be able to spar longer. It's going to take training, just like anything, i.e. her litter box stab.
Yeah.
I was commending you. I really owe a lot to Arma because the litter box gets clean. Cat doesn't get bladder infections anymore. Arma because your cat won't get bladder infections anymore.
But really, though, I mean, it does transform the way you live your life, though, because...
It really does.
You feel better about going, to certain places just because you know that if someone tries to hurt you, that you have certain techniques that you can rely on that actually many other martial arts don't. So if someone came at me with, say, a baseball bat or a beer bottle or something, I know how to handle those situations fairly comfortably.
So if I were to pick up a beer bottle right now...
I have probably just like probably a dozen locks. I think you had a
discussion of like that with somebody. Somebody was trying to make you slip up, you know, and they were like, well, what if I did this? What if I did that? I mean, these are, you know, centuries. These training methods are proven for centuries, you know, since 14th century and on. So this isn't some new age.
This
isn't some type of new age, no. you know, form of teaching. This isn't some type of infomercial where you can get, you know, 6-minute abs. This stuff has been proven over time to be the most effective form of combat.
Absolutely. And if someone's swinging a dagger at you or swinging a beer bottle at you, it's actually very similar. Swinging a long sword or a baseball bat.
A hammer throw, you know, anything. It could be an overhand right. I mean, anything. It could be anything.
And I think we have a very competitive martial art with that regard. Actually, I would say it's better. I think it's more aggressive just because the limitations that you have from the influences of things like American kickboxing and kind of striking back up. We have, and this is something we've talked about earlier, is that we don't stop moving forward.
Right.
You know, so I think in that way, you know, there's some things that are unique to it that are really valuable to just the everyday guy who wants to defend himself.
I have a question. Like, why isn't this as, like, popular and as mainstream as, like, regular martial arts?
I can answer that. So, basically, this practice started in the 70s. And by that, I mean we have these manuscripts translated in the 60s as just academic work. No one thought anything would come from them. So, in the late 70s, 80s, they started trying to figure it out. Well, it wasn't until 2009... when ARMA had its new curriculum, where it said you have to bond, you have to move forward, to where it all started to come together. And now that's coming together, we have an effective martial art, but we just don't have very many people who can teach it effectively. Does that make sense? So there's a lot of people who are able to be self-proclaimed experts because no one knows anything about it. And frankly, I think they just want a lot of people.
And everybody who is an expert on it is probably dead.
Well, the masters are. But you have some people that are pretty good. You know what I mean? I mean, I wouldn't say that I'm just like an amazing sword fighter, but I've been doing it since I was 15. And I have given careful thought.
You're 23 now.
Right. I'm 23 now. I've been in touch with the ARMA community, and I've had some instructors that have been just really solid. I have an idea for what it is.
Yeah, ARMA's been, according to the website, it's been founded since 1992, and they've had the website since 96.
Right.
So that's probably one of the big attributors to how many people are in it. I mean, this is a worldwide organization. You have ARMA, which practices, you know, these arts, everything from the medieval period, European fighting styles, to the mid-17th century. So it's a worldwide thing. Now there's HEMA, which is historical European martial arts, which goes into other groups as well. We've got, what, the Hema Alliance. And,
so you have the Hema Alliance. That's what they call themselves. Yeah. Of course, a more precise term to describe what we're trying to do and they're trying to do is the Martial Arts of Renaissance Europe.
Right.
Historical European martial arts would go all the way back to ancient times, all the way up to modern day.
Yeah, we could be Greco,
but,
but
they call themselves the Hema.
Okay.
Even though they mean mirror. So.
Right. But essentially, this organization, ARMA, is, like I said, starting medieval Europe, European fighting arts, through medieval times to the mid-17th century.
So people don't know a lot about it. And actually, I was wanting to get maybe Mandy's opinion on this, if that's okay.
Sure.
You're going to ask my husband if it's okay to get my opinion.
Well, he's moderating it. I didn't want to, step on anyone's toes.
It's a loose moderation.
It's not because it's your
just running the
spell. As someone that's been doing it for so long, I remember my initial day coming out. Ray, he pulled out, and he was worse than this because we didn't have steel.
Now, let everybody know who Ray is.
He was my instructor. Mm-hmm. He had high-ranking belts in judo before he did ARMA. He had just gotten out of the Marine Corps. Mm-hmm. He was a phenomenal martial artist, and he had a lot of things that I should have trusted him. But when he came out the first day with these foam swords.
Was this originally in ARMA Montgomery?
ARMA Montgomery. He came out the day one with foam swords, and he was swinging them around, showing me the five cuts, the four guards. I used to take him seriously.
That used to be prize play material.
This is back in this 2006, 2007, something like that. Right. So, I guess for me, I had a hard time taking seriously. I was just wondering for you, Mandy, before you start doing the material, maybe what you saw Jim doing, what was your initial opinion on it? What did you think?
Well, before I went out or when Jim, told me about it?
So, before you actually started doing it, and he was, started practicing, he was saying, showing you some techniques, getting better.
Well, like...
I was like, this guy at work told me about ARMA. Yeah. And they use swords.
Okay,
be brutally honest, because it's an issue.
Initially, he told me, I was thinking, ew, gross LARPing. Oh my god, I'm going to be married to a LARPer. I said, till death do us part, not till LARP does us part.
That's right.
And, oh crap, then I saw, which I was like, okay, there's no LARPing, there's no dressing up, mythological creatures.
So let me ask you this. So now having been out and seeing maybe me and Jim do our free play, how has that opinion changed? You can be completely honest. You can still say, it's kind of nerdy and dorky in some ways, because it's a historical study, it's kind of a geeky thing. But I wouldn't say it's like
you can
LARP,
get into
right?
it. Like if people get into it really deep.
Sure. On the most part, geeky and dorky really doesn't bother me. I'm sitting here in a Captain America T-shirt for God's sake, and
sure.
But I saw what y'all are doing, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is pretty badass. Can I say ass?
Yes.
Okay.
If you say badass in reference to what we do, yes.
But yeah, I thought it was pretty badass, and this doesn't go for all groups, I imagine, but I saw how you guys are, and I'm like, oh, these are really, I can be really comfortable around these people. They're not judging me if I fall, which it hasn't happened yet, but I'm sure it will, because I'm a klitz. But really, I'm really just mainly footwork. Going out to learn footwork, because I'm clumsy.
Footwork, so that's kind of your point for me.
Yeah.
See, you can get what you need from the organization. Yes, we're going to encourage everybody to learn everything. I want to learn everything. Yep. Rob wants to learn everything. I think we all do to a certain extent. Sometimes we can overwhelm ourselves, but that's what the training's for. Get what you need from it. There's guys that dedicated their lives to a weapon.
Well, actually, let me ask you this within on that topic, Jim, because I know that... So when Mandy came out, she said, I want to learn the unarmed. But a lot of the ARMA methodology starts with the longsword and takes those principles and cross-applies them. What's your opinion on that? Do you think that the unarmed aspects of ARMA are as meaningful without longsword, or do you think it could be taught just as effectively without it? What do you think?
I think they're pretty equal. Because if you say, if they cross-apply...
Right.
That means longsword's going to cross-apply into unarmed, and unarmed's going to cross-apply into longsword.
Sure.
As we've seen many times, even going through the motions, you throw a Zverich, that's a cross. I mean, that's a right hand cross. So,
yeah, cross.
And that's a right hand cross. That's a a Zorn. That's a right hand cross.
Sure.
Depending on what hand you're dominant with. If you throw a Zverich, that's going to be, you know, your hooks or jabs, you know. All the movements, if you do them without a sword, they translate into all of these texts, you know, showing, boar's tooth and every stance, every unarmed stance you could imagine is a guard, and every strike and every grappling, you know, you could translate to longsword, translate into poleaxe, into boxing, and grappling, into whatever you know.
Let me sharpen the question. So let's suppose you never learn longsword. I know this is true for me. Let's suppose you never learn longsword. I personally find that the longsword has taught me so many lessons about what fighting is, how to close, and that without those lessons I've learned from longsword, mm-hmm. most of the unarmed wouldn't make sense like it does to me now.
See, I just think it just depends on where you're coming from.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like a boxer would pick up pretty quick.
With the unarmed?
Right.
Right.
Not even, it doesn't have to be a historical boxer. You know,
sure. He can any
you know, boxer. Any type of boxing.
Because he's had the
guarantee, and, you know, athleticism just bleeds into many things.
Right.
That's why, you know, you got so many pro athletes that can, you know, that can play almost any sport. I mean, you've got any extreme athletes that can do, you know, Shaun White, he does snowboarding, skateboarding, you know, everything. You know, just like the longsword. You know, I feel like a good somebody who's, you know, pretty good. I guess what is it? Jiu-jitsu. They do a lot of grappling and
sure.
And you know, and a mixed martial artist. I feel like if you showed him the basic cuts, he or she would probably already.
I pick up on
have him down pretty quick.
Well, let me put it this way. So when you came out and it took you a while to learn sword, like anyone, a month or two before we really got the things to come together. But I remember I put a spear in your hand or a staff in your hand. Uh-huh. And the first day you had the staff, you were binding effectively and you were fighting really like someone I've never right. saw fight with before.
The longsword I think is key to everything.
It prepares you, right?
It prepares you for everything. I mean, if you can learn the longsword, you can learn almost all the weapons.
Right.
And unarmed. You know, I'm not debating that. I feel like they're both equal in motions and skill and learning curves. But I don't feel that you would learn longsword first and then learn unarmed.
Like it doesn't have to be
or learn it. Yeah, right. It doesn't have to be that way. Does it help? Yes, it does. Because okay. whenever we were, you know, going in, I mean we follow most of the Arma spirit, the Arma tradition.
Well, yeah. No, but there's a whole group Rebecca. And like Arma is like there's this camaraderie. Like, you know, like I've noticed, like I've become like closer to you and Dale, and like we met in May, and how many May, June, July, August, like 7 months. Like I've never befriended somebody that quickly in my entire life.
And that's what we try to do with new people as much as we can. Like
bring them in. Yeah.
Whenever we first started hanging out. You know, we made friends. And, I mean, I know I'm kind of trouble with my friends, but...
Well, like, we don't just hang out, like, when we're doing our stuff, but we hang out all the time. Like, and we don't just talk about Arma stuff either. We talk about right. all kinds of stuff. Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, we're always hanging out, and, I mean, hell, Dale wrote a song for us, and you're in our band, and...
I'll tell you this, like, the only people, like, I really keep up with, I've moved from place to place with... They're Arma people. Like, even if there's people that I hung out with a lot more that didn't do Arma, I really don't message them back and forth as much just because we don't have that thing in common, you know.
So once you've swung a sword at somebody, that's a bond right there? Is that
it just gives, I mean, most of it just gives you something to talk about or something
Let's
to
give them something to talk about.
Yeah. me and Kevin Hoffman, we talk all the time. There's a guy I trained out in Malibu. And yeah. He McFarland, he likes to message me still.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just... Kind of one of those things where it's something you have to talk to. Like, you just have each other to track each other's progress.
It's a brotherhood, man.
It's a brotherhood, Shvedbuddha.
So. Brotherhood. You know, trying to get people to join. Trying to get them to get to know the members. Let them know that, you know, we are personable. That's an important thing, you know, with trying to draw new people. You know, it's going back to the not being regimental thing. Being laid back, being personal, just being open about the art and not making it like a set of rules. Yeah. You know, if you don't do it this way, it's not that you're inferior, you know, it would just be more effective.
Bringing people in, I like to maybe talk about this.
Okay.
You know, you just got to, in some ways, you have to just paint it as something worth doing, as in, like Mandy said, it's kind of badass or it's kind of cool, you know?
Yep.
So, ultimately, at the end of the day, I think a lot of people, they have these pictures of sword fighting in their minds, and they want something that's cool and something that's kind of badass. And that's what you do for martial arts in general, you know? It's a driving factor. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, that does make a lot of sense.
Now, let me put it this way. I mean, I have had multiple girls tell me they thought that the Arma stuff we do is sexy. Mandy knows it. Bree has told me the Arma is kind of sexy.
What was she say it? Was she giggling when she said it?
No, she's absolutely serious. A girl out in California, me and her had some good nights because the Arma was sexy. That's how she approached me. Said, "Arma is sexy."
You guys stayed up and just like talked about Mare and
naked.
Fiore and.
Oh yeah, I went Fiore on that girl's ass.
Oh my god!
Taking that out. So we've
gone to that.
I don't know if I should take that out now. Yeah, I was about to say. I think I could put a beep in long enough that would be annoying. Short enough that wouldn't be annoying.
Well, no, because you said this is in no way involved in the da 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 da.
But still.
It has sex appeal, that's the point. Arma has sex appeal.
Be brutally honest, I don't see it. I think it's cool, but I don't see it.
It's got sex appeal.
It to me, it's as cool as like comic books and Star Wars and RPGs.
Ouch.
No, I think those things are cool.
I think they're cool, but not in the same way. I think it's cool in the same way like MMA and boxing are cool.
Nah, see, I don't think those are cool. So, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. See.
Well, that makes sense.
Okay, I think Arma is as cool as Green Day or Aerosmith.
That's pretty cool.
Or, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Or the Beatles. Like, if the Beatles and Green Day had a baby, it would be Arma. That's... Yeah, you don't know what to say about that, dude.
I really don't. Deep.
Like, wow.
I don't know what to say to that one. But I just really agree because it sounds positive. But, hell yeah.
Yeah, and the Beatles and Green Day are like on my top 5 favorite bands. So, yeah, I just said that.
Yeah, well,
I guess I screwed up by associate. I think it's cool, like comic books and Star Wars and RPGs. Nerd.
I mean, like, reading the manuscripts is, though.
Yeah.
Like RPGs,
so. Yeah, you're going to want to edit that out.
Maybe.
Then people are like, oh my god, it's LARPing.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, just leave in the part where I talk about rock stars, and then, yeah.
Arma is like rock stars.
Yeah. They're the Green Day of martial arts. They're the Fender of martial arts.
Oh my god. John Clements is the Elvis Presley.
No, he's the Beatles.
That's funny.
I don't think
he's
Elvis
all
is...
the Beatles in one body.
Yeah, because I don't think Elvis was all that great. There, I said it. The Beatles are the real kings of rock.
Well, you can't argue with the Beatles.
And so what would you say you are?
I'd say I'm like...
Are you the Backstreet Boys of Arma?
No, I'm like that band that comes out before the main group does... I'm still trying to have a local band trying to make a name for myself.
So you're Omega Nemesis.
I'm like the local
The band that you're in.
Yeah, exactly. I aspire to be Jeff Hanson or Joey Morata or John Farthing or Clemens.
Or Miley Cyrus.
Yeah. There you go.
You want to be the Miley Cyrus of Arma. Wow, I like your silence, Jim.
Oh. I'm just messing with. I'm messing with the levels.
No, please leave the Miley Cyrus of Arma in, please. They'll show that people in Arma have a sense of humor.
Yeah, there you go.
We do.
Wow, look at Draper. She's like, looks like she's intently listening to you, Jim. Like, she's like...
She's the unofficial Arma Abilene, Texas mascot.
The little chubby gray and white cat.
Yep.
With no claws because she uses a longsword.
Hell yeah.
Like, picture that. Picture that chubby little cat with a longsword.
I'm picturing it. It's like Garfield.
Yeah.
I'm too lazy to move.
She's just doing like this. She's just got her little wrist. It's just going back and forth.
Back and forth.
She goes in and out. It's about an accordion, people. Yeah. I know where your minds went.
You have anything else you want to add?
For me? For this time? For this episode?
More or less, yeah.
I mean, it's basically been over perceptions of...
Is that a spear? Mare. Is that a spear? Oh my god, was that a spear?
Yeah, I have an app on my phone for... It's a game.
For what?
It's a Tribal Wars game. It's freaking awesome. You can attack villages and stuff. I want to
at least...
if you have anything else we can...
Reference... some things from the E-list while we're talking.
Yeah.
Well, we could just have him go practice off on failures.
No, practice. I read that one.
Is it good?
Yeah, I mean, he's just basically. It's interesting. Well, practice failures is interesting because he actually talks about a student that came to train with him, and John Clements was doing kicks on him, and so he was landing them pretty well, and so the student tried to do the kicks, and he wasn't able to do them, and so. The idea is, after he failed multiple times, he told John, hey, I probably shouldn't do kicks anymore. And John said, no, that's not the right thing to do. You need to keep trying it until it works. Even if you don't win, that one fencing match, you're training and you're getting better.
So that goes back to confidence, because, you know, a lot of white shirts and new people and guests, they don't have a lot of confidence, unless they come from a different background. But, you know, like me, you know, coming, basically Arma was... about the most martial arts background I've had, you know. So coming in, you know, it builds your confidence. You may not have very much on your way in, but telling people things like that, you know, motivating, encouraging, that's a good thing.
Well, and you also have to have the confidence to try new things and fail. Like, you know, I know people that. They'll find one or two techniques that, I think I've told you about this, one or two techniques that work, and then they'll never expand from there. And so I think particularly people who like to stay back and snipe hands, and you'll win some fencing matches until you go against somebody who's good and you can counter that. But they never really grow in just the rich diversity of what's offered in the historical main figures. And they certainly can't take that kind of mentality of hand sniping to, you know, other forms of fighting. So, I mean, just really, it's all about growth and continuous growth.
Actually, one thing that I really like about, and again, I can't say it about, you know, all groups, because I don't know about all groups, or about this personal group, but this group that I'm in, is that you guys don't, if you don't get something, you don't look at me. If I don't get something, you don't look at me like I'm stupid. Right. I mean, you may be thinking it, I don't know, but you don't look at me.
We know it's hard. No, we absolutely know it's hard. It is. It's not an easy thing. And that's what really makes it worth doing. And you know what? I mean, do any martial artists that are listening... maybe they've done unarmed Asian styles or kickboxing or something. Look, if you want a really interesting martial art that's highly technical, European longsword is just the way to go. It's the most technical weapon in human history, as far as I know. It just doesn't get any better than that. I think you'd agree with me, right, Jim?
Yeah.
As far as you can tell. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just...
I've got some experience.
When you pick up, you know, like a rifle even, it's pretty simple. You aim and shoot, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've got the military experience, I've got Taekwondo experience, and Arma experience. So, the historical European, I've had the most fun with it.
Sure.
I mean, even shooting M16s, you know, in a combat situation, it's not...
You shot.
Yeah. Hey, basic training.
Dude, you were a crew chief.
You have to shoot in basic
training.
Well, the point is that he learned the technique, so he learned about pieing, and maybe he learned some stuff about room clearing or something like that.
You do realize everybody goes through the same basic training, right?
I don't know anything about basic training. Like, the only thing I know about military was, like, ROTC and, like, saber team and stuff like that.
Everybody goes through the same training, and then they go do their job.
Excuse me.
So, but yeah.
That was common knowledge.
Well, I mean, the point is, though, is that you learn the basics of rifle, right? And you learn, I mean, and even the rifle. The reason rifle tactics are interesting is not so much for the individual, which, I mean, that gets to things like pieing, corners, and things like that. It's more interesting when you have the team effort coming together. And that's when you have, and even for us, that's something we want to talk about maybe in another episode, is the teamwork in historical European martial arts.
Right.
But for this, it's enough to, it will suffice to say that it's interesting one-on-one. Technically, in ways that are more than, say, a rifle, a handgun, a spear, mace, bow staff, whatever. It's a very interesting weapon to study for anyone that enjoys the martial arts.
Hey guys, Jim Steele here. I just wanted to let you guys know that we just appreciate you listening, and we're going to give you some information, take a little break. We are planning on make this a user-driven show, and we do this on our outside time, so we always are looking for ways, now that we're just starting to make it better for everybody. So we do want to give you the opportunity to donate if that's what you wish, and we don't have a PayPal yet, but we will definitely get that information out there. If you'd like to coordinate with us on that, you can email us arma.abilene@gmail.com and get us on our Facebook, Arma Abilene, and any money that goes towards a donation to us only goes towards the project. We've got the YouTube channel, and we've got the podcast, so that's just going to go towards better equipment, better microphones, more microphones, web space, anything like that, so we can make this gigantic, massive, and it's only for the community, you know. And it's, we're doing it because we love what we do. And like I said, thank you for listening to the show, and I hope you enjoy the rest of it.
I remember a question was, like, when you got up, I had a question, and then you got up, and then I forgot what it was, and I just remember it was, what's the difference between, you keep on using something boxing, traditional boxing or something like that.
Kickboxing.
Historical boxing, I think.
Well, historical boxing.
And, like, regular boxing, like, what's the difference?
Well, so maybe you have something to say about this as well, Jim, but, I mean, the basic thing is that in modern boxing, they have the big boxing gloves. They used to be called mufflers. So you just call them boxing gloves now. Historically, when boxing first started, it was a lot closer to MMA. You didn't have kicks, but you have punching, grabbing, and throwing. And so in that way, it's a little bit more interesting with some of the techniques that we practice, especially some of the throws and things, because we can take those boxing techniques that were used to set up for throws, used to be aggressive, and frankly, are probably a lot more useful than the modern kickboxing. Just because it's limited in the sense that you can't progress from what we'd say in historical European martial arts as, or the martial arts Renaissance Europe, as a Zhu faction to the Krieg, as the pre-bind to the grappling or the bind, you know. So I think that's a major difference, and it's had a negative effect on MMA because they use kickboxing to train strikes. So in that way, I think actually that historical boxing would be really interesting for MMA fighters if they actually gave that stuff a serious look.
Yeah.
And for us, I think
does that answer your question?
Yes,
more
it
or less.
Yeah.
That's another thing too, is people are afraid to ask questions.
Oh yeah.
You know, so they're stuck in a sense.
And again, people, he did not look at me like I was an idiot when I said
exactly.
that.
Exactly. You know, it's Arma Abilene, we are here to help. You know, we try to be as open as we can. We try to help as many people as we can.
They will make you a superhero.
And we try to help as many people as we can at our meets, meanwhile also working on our own technique. I feel like a lot of emphasis on teaching new people. I mean, we're always learning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And it's sort of hard because of, you know, how small our group is. But we do get a lot of new people, and some of them come and go. some of them come back. You know, lately we've had an influx.
How many people, like, since you've been here in Abilene, have just come and gone? Like,
we have a lot. So I think of a few people. One of them I want to text and try and get back because he's kind of a guy who's more close to your size for gym. You know, I mean, honestly,
by
until
my size, he means Buddha belly.
No, I mean he's over 200 pounds. He's a big man. We have a lot of guys who are smaller. So I guess, I mean, just about everyone's come and go except for, I mean, Jim, Dale, myself, Riley, he's starting to come back. Austin's been consistent. That's really our core. I think we're starting to get some people that I'm pretty confident we're going to redshirt. I'm pretty confident we're going to redshirt probably two or three of the new girls that came out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have no doubt. If we do the right things.
Yeah.
And treat them as martial artists, so. Which is actually really interesting that we have this many females in our group, because most groups don't have any, or they'll have like one or two. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes the females outnumber
women
us.
Women have this like phobia of getting dirty, because that's my problem. Is like, oh god, I don't want to get dirty. I don't want to get grass in my hair.
Yeah.
And I'm still trying to overcome that.
Yeah.
Know, but.
Oh yeah. So I mean,
I have to smell like a flower.
Nah, yeah. So. I mean, I'm feeling pretty good though. I mean, I don't know what we've done to make it appealing to maybe a more female audience, but it's definitely. I mean,
maybe
this is something
you
unique.
Manicures to each other afterwards.
Yeah, that's like probably what it is. How we do all our feminine, like compare feminine products afterwards. Jim pulls out his Vagisil.
Tampax tampons, the official tampons
of Arm Athlete. So, no, I mean.
Oh, I just realized what you were saying. Those were
in my
ears. Yeah, aw.
I don't know why you're smelling them for.
I wasn't smelling, I was just playing with them. We just got done with band practice because we're in a band. So, like, is Omega Nemesis the official Arma Abilene band?
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Since, like, what? 50% of the band is involved?
Yeah. I mean, you're involved too, so 75%.
Yeah, 75%.
You're getting
there. Yeah.
Math. So we do math also.
Yes, don't.
So it's a geometry involved.
No, see, you lost
that's
me.
That's a separate,
no,
separate talk.
You make me not want to go
that's
back
a separate
then.
Talk.
You said the M word.
That's a separate talk. Right?
It is. That is that's body, dude. Actually, we're getting the Yoko Meyer book coming
take
in.
Take the math out of it and you will get women to
it's not. I don't think the math is what's keeping the women away.
Well, let's face it. It's probably
I'm pretty sure
the,
it's the swords.
Well, no, how about you guys, like, you know... start sparring in red thongs. That would
girls be... tend to avoid guys with swords.
That's historical too. That's historically accurate. I think.
Well, like I'm surprised. Like okay, I'm gonna go.
I think
off
anybody
this
would
right
involve
now.
And
I,
would,
like,
avoid anyone.
Like
sword.
I mean, a guy with a sword, like it, like you think it's sexy because like okay, all these romance novels, it's pirates and knights
right.
And blah 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 blah. But when you actually see a guy with a sword, it's like,
okay.
Hey.
Let me put, so you guys know Tinder?
Huh?
You guys know what Tinder is?
Tinder? Like,
it's an app. Yeah, it's an app on your phone. So what you'll do, I mean, most people listening will know, you swipe right if you think the person's good looking, you'll swipe left. And if you get a match, you can chat with him. And actually, one of my, I have two pictures on there. One's just a regular picture of me with actually holding an arming sword.
Right.
And the other one is me with my mask on. So I fully embrace, like, you know, the sword in my hand as a way to improve my Tinder swiping right experience. It's worked.
Wow.
It works, gentlemen.
Well, Jim's married, so I guess it does work.
It does. It's all right. Someday Mandy will admit Jim.
Yeah, but she didn't sign up for this for Arma. She didn't know until later.
But I supported competitive eating. I supported competitive eating.
See, place. I do come from a competitive,
competitive background. That's all I apply to Arma.
I saw this man eat like 13 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
Oh, Christ.
Nobody can say I'm not a supportive wife.
Go, Jim!
Yeah, we need to talk about how your competitive eating has helped you in Arma.
Yeah.
We're talking about perceptions of Arma. Maybe this might be interesting. I haven't told you this yet, Jim or Mandy. Bree had a dream about a week ago. So Bree, my friend, she started to do Arma with us.
She's also, she's in the group.
She's in the group, a good friend of mine. She had a dream the other day. I mean, she's a girl that lives alone here in Abilene. And
with her cats.
With her cats.
God.
Well, she had a dream that
actually... Go ahead and announce that real quick.
Okay, so she had a dream that someone, like, came into her house and tied her up and was about to beat the crap out of her.
That was after we watched the movie night. I think it was after.
But it had a good ending because me and Jim rushed in and beat the heck out of this guy.
Nice.
With our Arma skills.
I did not know about that.
No, you did not know.
Why didn't she bring it up?
Awesome. Yeah.
Isn't that pretty cool? I mean,
it is a cool dream.
It's because you know, she sees it as legitimate fighting art.
Awesome. So. She feels like we can protect her.
Well, I do feel like you've become more manly since.
Hey.
Like
Rob said, it works, fellas.
It works, gentlemen.
I mean, before he used to be my little fat, and now you're. Yeah, I used to call him little fat.
Won't anymore. Beat your ass with a sword.
And like, I think it's really manly because I used to beat up on you, Jim. You know, like, remember that time we just randomly wrestled and you were like, were you on the wrestling team in high school? Oh my god!
Well, I just can't even picture that being like a close competition now with the stuff he's learned.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure it's just like you're probably like.
See, and that's, you know,
because of Arma, your wife can't beat up on you anymore.
Another thing when you first start out that you begin to realize how much it, you know, I always joke around, but it's true. It's an Arma lifestyle. You know, it bleeds over into your work, your school, the way you approach people. You know, I'm much more confident now. You know, I'm not really afraid if I ever got in a tussle on the street or if somebody was ever messing with my wife. I don't really have anything holding me back anymore that I feel like would make me nervous enough not to be able to defend myself quickly.
Right.
You know, it just gives you some tools to work with. You know, like you said, you sit there and you're like, well, what if that guy, you know, came over with a pool stick or something like that, then you just, you know, perform those disarms.
The boar shoot or something. You know what? Exactly. The thing is, it doesn't even matter what they do with the way we train.
Right.
Someone throws a punch, you know exactly what you're going to close. You're going to punch back and close. You know, you have just that confidence to react that I think, you know, it's so valuable. And actually, it's interesting that you talk about lifestyle. It reminds me of something one of my mentors taught me in Arma, Montgomery. His name's Caleb. He also has a large martial arts
Shout
background.
Out.
And he told me, basically, that he told me that you can't just make it something you do every Saturday or Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that becomes a part of who you are existentially. So it pervades in all aspects of your life. And if you don't allow it to do that, you won't be a good martial artist.
Precisely.
You
just can't. I mean, it's, you know, if your goal is to be a good martial artist, you're going to have to work at it. You know, it's not something... It's not going to be a weekend thing. You've got to wake up and, you know, have to wake up at 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning like I normally do, but you've got to wake up and do those flourishes. You know, you've got to practice those cuts.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to try to get you a pill one day and you know, install it and get you a nice, you know, just to get you a waster or something like plastic and just work the pill. You know, work the heavy bag.
Right. So,
you know, you
have to put the work in to make it work. And because it's not all about just the cool
cutting. You get
cutting.
What you put in.
Yeah.
Get out of it what you put into
And that's interesting because I think a lot of people with many things in life, they just see the outcome. They say, this is what a fencer is. Mm-hmm. It's someone who can flourish like John Clements or something. But they don't see that the reason he's able to do that is because... of all the weight training he does, because all the flourishing he does, the bell work, the intense amount of study.
Sure.
Know? And that's what a fencer is, someone who puts the time in and gets the output.
And, you know, it's something that you just learn from reading the text. You know, it's something you've learned even historically that, you know, these guys, this was their livelihood. You know, some of them, you know, a lot of them were in the armies.
It made them wealthy, too. Like, if you could do it well, it would make you wealthy.
They were called upon as champions for judicial battles.
Yes.
You know.
Very profitable.
They were teachers, instructors of kingdoms and beyond. You know, they probably weren't even tied down to any one area. I know Fiore did a lot of traveling.
We have manuscripts from France, Germany, and Italy.
So
it sounded like you said France. France. I heard that and I was France. Like, what is France?
France.
Sorry. Well, it's because he thinks French is fancy. So
oh.
He wanted to say fancy France.
Fancy
France.
Fancy
France.
Fancy French.
Fiore. But, you know, these guys put a lot of work into it. And, you know, that's one reason. And especially, you know, this could be a good topic for another discussion. You know, let's talk about, you know, a good discussion topic would be, what about the artists? You know, were they students?
The artists?
Were they artists?
I can answer that question.
Were they students? Go ahead.
I mean, a lot of times, because the lifestyle they lived was holistic, the artists were the masters themselves. Fiore says, I can teach you this because I learned to draw. And you have people, I believe Capoferro, for example, made his own. Mm-hmm. And it's important that he did, because the body mechanics he's trying to portray are communicated not only through verbal or written records, but also through the precise depictions of demon body moving, if that makes sense. And so it's just the way they lived. It was a mastery of a lot of different subjects.
See, I didn't know that a lot of times the masters were the ones that are writing and drawing these texts that we read today.
As far as I know, I think just about all of them are that way.
That are available at thearma.org. A lot of them. And if you join up, you get access to many items that are not available to the public.
That's an interesting thing to talk about, even with new people, is just the value, I think, of Arma. I mean, for the product that it is. How much do people pay for martial arts, typically?
Right. So we're talking business standpoint.
Yeah, let's talk about that. You know, just the value of the overall product. You get an Arma membership for $40 per year, and you get one-on-one training with people who have been doing it for a while. Most groups have at least someone that's been in it for years, you know, and someone that's an authority or that can at least lead you in the right direction. That's for Arma. A lot of martial arts renaissance Europe groups, HEMA Alliance groups, it gets kind of sketchy.
A lot of places you're paying $40 a month.
A lot of places you're paying, or more.
Yeah,
I mean, it's been commercialized. There's a place, Sword Fight New York or something like that. And then you have another place in Canada, Blood and Iron. And those places, it's $60 to $100 or something a month.
Right.
It's quite a bit more. And they limit you to the classes, and the classes are bigger. So it's not the one-on-one attention.
And even in Eastern martial arts, you know, MMA, paying $100 a month, over $100 a month.
Absolutely. Kickboxing gyms.
To go to any gym. Boxing.
And you know what? Those things, they're okay, but a lot of the Eastern martial arts you do, it's been sort of commercialized about belt testing and things. I mean, I have a brown belt in Kung Fu from when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
Really? I didn't know that.
I have a brown belt in Kung Fu, and when I got to Army of Montgomery, I really couldn't fight, because it's more about learning the movements and getting the belt rank rather than learning the fighting and the technical techniques, because it's almost like a dance. You learn the katas, and you memorize the katas. But there's no real discussion, at least not at a substantive level, of how do you apply these things, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
And that gets even worse, especially when you start getting their sparring systems and point systems, where maybe you're not allowed to hit the face or something like that.
Right.
If that makes sense. Or you're not allowed to kick. And it just gets
bad. You get worried about the rules instead of learning your craft.
Let me put it this way. If we train longsword like we didn't get, without being allowed to hit each other in the face,
yeah,
what do you think is going to happen if someone had a real longsword pulled on them?
Right.
They would get hit where?
In the face.
I mean, it's just...
I mean, that's good. I mean, you always got to remember, sparring has to be done in a way that you're not going to injure the other person.
Right.
You're not trying to injure the other person. It's because you have to be able to train... To be able to fight against that kind of stuff. So you have to be able to train in an environment where you can make mistakes and not get injured. It's okay to get hurt. It's okay to get fatigued. It's okay to push your body to the limits. But you don't want to be getting...
Ooh, that would be good. That would be a good song. Like those lyrics right there. Yeah. Like what you just said.
Push it to the limits.
Even before you said like push the limits, that
right.
would be like a really good song. Or Omega Nemesis.
It's good to, you know, to get a workout in where, you know, sometimes we've gone to the point where, when we're doing our 45-second drills where we want to barf, you know, yeah. right through our mask. Oh, yeah. And, you
and
know,
I'm glad I have not gone on any of those occasions. I would join in.
It's good to do that because it's preparing you for the real thing. Because if you get hit in the hands 100 times over and on 101 you blocked the same strike and you did not hit your hands, that's sparring. That's what it's for. That's training.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, in those, historically, in those judicial bouts, you know, on the battlefield, those things, you know, you get one.
Yeah,
or in this case, you get 10. You know, you get 10 chances on your hands for fingers and, you know, not counting wrists or whatever. That's it. You know, if they got you, that's it. Or if you slip up, that's it. You know, that's what making mistakes is for. That's what training is for.
So
you know,
if I hear you correctly,
it has to be safe. Because if it's not safe, then you can't train.
So if, yeah.
You know, before I got to learning how to take falls, I didn't know how, and I got flipped by Dale, and I landed on my hip because I was trying to recover mid fall instead of rolling it out. So, and I was out for like, we were doing our workouts and stuff at the time, and I was out for like 2 weeks, if you don't recall.
I remember that, yeah.
And that was, you know, you don't want to do stuff, you know, you don't want to train in a way where you're going to get injured.
Well, let me ask, I mean, on that point, I think what you're saying is that we've been able to, since you started, have sparring sessions that are both right. safe and are able to prepare you for mm-hmm. the real deal, whether
exactly.
it be something where someone's attacking on the street or an actual historical encounter that we
yeah.
are training techniques for. Could you maybe say more about what factors specifically you think contribute to preparing you in ways that you don't see mm-hmm. in, suppose, other martial arts forms of sparring?
You know, I would say even, and I think Mandy can agree with, will definitely agree with me on this, and you too, Rob, and pretty much anybody, you know, bullying has been a big, you know, part of most people's lives growing up. You know, I mean, I know it's the meek probably makes up, you know, a low percentage, but a lot of people have been bullied. And I feel like if Arma could get out in such a way that, you know, it would be great for kids, you know, grant you,
especially for like low income kids, because
right.
this is
because
free.
It's free. I mean,
martial arts is good. You know, it does build confidence,
right.
but you got to pay to take a class, and
right.
we've paid absolutely nothing.
I mean,
for
we
this.
Want people to join, and you know, definitely the Johns want people to join. You know, but being a white shirt is about learning the basics. You know, being a white shirt is about building that confidence. You know, there's a lot of said about being a white shirt. They wore white shirts. They wore white shirts.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everybody in the organization has. A lot of people listening might be wearing a white shirt. But, you know, I feel like it could, you know, somehow translate it to kids. The only thing keeping it from that is all these weapons are made for adults.
Yes.
That's the big reason why I don't think it spreading enough mainstream, like Disney style, to be marketable for children.
Right.
So,
but I mean, if you have like
you actually teach kids a lot. So what is
yeah,
your
with
take?
That work with swim lessons?
Right. What is your take on that?
Well, it gets interesting when you get with kids because the techniques you train are so technical with longsword, it gets a little bit complicated. And I think kids are more inclined to, a lot of them are more inclined to play with weapons
mm-hmm.
than to really learn. Yeah. But if you got maybe like a middle school age kid, I mean, crap, I was 15 when I started,
mm-hmm.
you know.
So
I was a child when I started, basically. I mean, I was like mid-teenager.
So like you really wouldn't see kids in an MMA gym, but you'd see them in like Kung Fu, Taekwondo, more of the controlled environments as opposed to the MMA where it's mainly adults wanting to do this, wanting to get ripped and work out and slam each other,
well,
punch each other. And I don't think a lot of parents are going to want kids kneeing each other in the face.
Here's the
you know,
thing.
That's probably why that things like Arma, things like MMA, because they're so intense. Like, they can get intense at times and very, very aggressive.
I agree, but I've actually when I've been to MMA gyms, I've seen a lot of kids there.
Yeah.
And here's why. It's because parents, they don't want to buy the commercialized BS Asian dance around and get the next butt rink. They want their kids to actually be able to stop someone who's bigger than them or a group of kids if someone's trying to hurt them. And in that regard, if you have a kid that's mature, that will listen to what we're talking about, listen to the techniques and be able to apply them effectively, I think it's highly marketable to say kids over the age of 12 or 13.
Yeah.
You know, but below the age, I think there's a maturity barrier. I think this gets really tough.
Right.
Unless it's just a really disciplined kid.
So I guess the breaking factor is probably the weapons. They're just not.
Well, you know,
they're not scaled down.
Yeah.
You know, maybe if there was a company out there, maybe anybody who's listening can let us know about a company. Because I would love to do an after school program or something like that with Arma. And I'm sure John would, you know, appreciate that too.
We do have a youth page on the Arma page.
Yeah.
I think.
Oh, that's right.
One of the requirements, I think, new requirements is you have to be 18. I might be wrong on that to be a part of Arma. But I think it's great. And actually, what you could do is just take a lot of the weapons out altogether and do a lot of the Arma.org stuff, the unarmed stuff.
The Arma.org features.
That's right.
Youth page.
Youth page.
There we go. Go ahead.
But because here's the thing is, like I mentioned earlier, I think we come to the table with something to offer the martial arts community or the enthusiasts that you don't really get from mainstream MMA or kickboxing or the other combat sports where people are really getting their fighting right now, like really serious martial artists, or the majority, I should say, or what people perceive maybe the better term, because I know there are some that are legitimate that aren't in those categories. But what we bring to the table is a martial art that's not been influenced by American kickboxing. And by that, and this is a key difference, by that we have the Zufectin, where we begin with where people are separated. Then we have the initial strikes. Then you have follow-ups when you're close. And then you grab and then you throw. And that's how we fight. We're not looking to back out and punch each other all day.
We'll actually be going more into detail on that in our next episode.
On another day. So maybe not talk about it too much. Yeah. But it is. I think that's where the market's at for teaching anyone self-defense at any age.
Closing. So we've got on the Arma Youth Code of Chivalry, just in case anybody wants to know. It's on the youth page. You know, they've got all kinds of stuff in here. Some of the things on the Arma Youth Code of Chivalry are commitment to develop and train, which actually a lot of these could, you know, anybody could.
It's very character building, that's for sure.
Discipline, nobility, and service, respect for all worthy people, honor all those above your station, protect the innocent, courtesy to all ladies and gentlemen, and celebration of the arts. You know, it's just some little stuff on there. You can check that out on thearma.org. But, you know, definitely anybody should, you know, thinking about joining, anybody who wants to learn more, this is public access. I mean, there's a ton of stuff on there, you know, that will get you interested, kind of whet your palate. If everybody's looking for new members, you know, you got to push the website. You've got to. Because, you know, so many people get on the web today, especially with technology the way it is, with smartphones and pads and the access to Wi-Fi. Get them on the website, because that's a lot of it is what did it with me. Because in my break times and free time at work, when I first started joining, I would just cruise the website and get on the texts. You know, get on those wikis, Arma website, because he's got a lot of good stuff on here. There's even some items on here about training. And if I can, let's see, method. Where to start? Okay, thearma.org, under methods, you can go to where to start and training tips. And that will get you started. Where to start would be pretty good. It kind of helps you out on kind of finding a group. They tell you about memberships, tell you about the website. I would probably start there and then go on to training? Because there's a lot of groups out there, especially I think y'all were talking about Caleb. He's a one-man ARMA group, is he not?
He's outside the organization now. Now it's just Ray in Montgomery.
Ray? So he's a one-person group?
Basically.
Essentially. So, you know, if you're that person, if you live in, you know, Elgin, Illinois, or Wichita, Kansas, or, you know, some place that's just not, doesn't have a group, and within driving distance, within a reasonable driving distance, check out the website, thearma.org, and get on the where to start, and then move on to the training tips, because you can always go order a sword, order a waster, or get you a dowel rod or a baseball bat, something to start you out to spark your interest, and use some of these techniques and read some of these texts. And there's also resources that ARMA members write. You know, what we're kind of trying to do with this series, with this podcast, and with our page, which we, our YouTube channel, which we, I believe it's Rob's name.
Rob Bertram. Longsword, I'll bring it up.
Just Rob Bertram.
Rob Bertram, Longsword.
Go on our YouTube page. We probably will be changing that name.
Maybe. Yeah, we can change it. We can probably link it to the podcast.
Title or something, yeah. Everything will be linked together. You know, maybe we'll have a website
and
sometime.
If you're new, just remember.
We have our Facebook, so.
Yeah, if you're new and you're alone, though, you're not near an ARMA group, there's nothing wrong with starting a group in your area. Even if you don't really know anything, it doesn't mean that you have to be an instructor. You train with people.
Even if you're a white shirt, I mean, people together. And then if you think about joining one day, then you can take everything that you're learning, pass it on to your group.
And here's the thing is, the wonderful thing about this community is that there's a lot of people that just start off by themselves and with a group, and they have to reach out to the ARMA community to learn the techniques. And I'm fully willing. I'm sure Jim's fully willing to get in contact with you if you need any help. I mean, we'll make instructional videos. We'll do what we need to do to make sure that new members, even if they're not really near us, are able to do the techniques. Actually, I'm doing this with a group in Malibu, California. They're starting an ARMA group on the campus with Kevin Hoffman. He's guy trained.
Mm-hmm.
And I've made several instructional videos that I've sent to him, just unlisted videos on my channel. And I plan to do more of that because he's got a lot of responsibility on his plate for someone who's only done 6 months.
Right.
And that's just the kind of community we are. It's so building, not only in your local group, but throughout the whole thing. I've never been a part of a community like it.
And it's what Abilene ARMA is all about. Abilene, Texas ARMA. You know, like you said, get those groups started. Don't be afraid. Get on our Facebook. It is ARMA Abilene. Right?
ARMA Abilene, that's correct.
ARMA Abilene.
Just
Facebook
request to be a member,
group.
We'll probably add you.
Request to be a member.
Unless you've made ARMA mad.
You know, there's a bunch of groups in Texas. Texas is big. So it's probably going to be a big part of our listeners. But I'm pretty sure it'll be worldwide. If we can get this out there, you know, tell everybody about the podcast. Let us know how you like it. We are a work in progress. So bear with us. And we will get better, and you will be more informed. So that's pretty much all we have for today. I'm Jim Steele.
It's Rob Bertram.
Manny Dominguez.
And this is Mayor Talk.